No matter what comes your way, with Christ, you can overcome. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell reminds us how we can live in spiritual victory.
The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, quench not the Spirit. Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Spirit. Galatians 5, walk in the Spirit. Ephesians 5, be filled with the Spirit. Listen, the Holy Spirit wants to go with you, and He wants to go with me tomorrow, and He wants to lead you and guide you, but you've got to yield yourself to Him tomorrow. You've got to be willing to be led by the Holy Spirit.
The Bible says that through Christ, we have victory. Through our relationship with God, He has made us more than conquerors. If He is for us, who can be against us? But if this is true, then why do we doubt and struggle? In our series today, we will learn about God's powerful sovereignty and how we can overcome the adversities of life. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In our series, The Winning Side, we will discover how our acceptance in Christ allows us to live in confidence that we're on the winning side. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Victory Through the Filling of the Spirit.
He wants to encourage us through His leadership, and He wants to give us liberty to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now think of this. Every Christian either will serve God tomorrow or serve self. Romans 6:16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, His servants are ye to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or unto obedience unto righteousness. So if I yield myself to sin, I am the servant of sin. If I yield myself to the Lord, I am the servant of the Lord. And I must yield myself daily to His Holy Spirit. Now, some people who are yielded to self are given to anger. They're given to despondency or depression or pride because they are living for self. I heard about a little boy that asked his mommy, "Mommy, why do the idiots only come out when Daddy drives?" Daddy had been upset. Daddy had been in the flesh. Daddy had not been in the spirit. But listen to what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:17, or some people these days like to call it 2 Corinthians 3:17. It's up to you. But 2 Corinthians 3:17, look at what it says. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what?
Liberty.
Say it with me. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is so when you have the Spirit of God working in your life, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now, the world tries to say this. Hey, you want liberty? Have it your own way, man. Go out there and have as many beers as you want. Go out there and do what you want. Live the way you want. Have life your own way. That's what freedom's all about. Look it. I'm free. It's my body. It's my life. Come on now. How many of you would say, yep, that's the message that we get from the world today, right? We hear it all the time. My body, nobody tell me what to do. My life, you know, I want to pierce it. I want to do this. Hey, I'll do what I want to do. It's my life. That's not how a Christian talks. A Christian says, hey, my body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in me. So I'm going to think twice about how I live this life from now on, because Jesus Christ has taken up residence in me. How many of you are with me on that so far? Amen. Because Jesus is in my life. All right, let me give an illustration of it. In the book of Luke, Chapter 8, there's a story of a man from the town of Gadara. Years ago, I was on the Sea of Galilee, and we were going across the sea, and the man said, over there is the village of Gadara. And I said, is that the Gadara where the man was filled with the evil spirits? And is that the Gadara where Jesus took those evil spirits and put it into the swine, and they ran down the hill into the sea? He said, that's it. So we got out of that boat, and we went up to Gadara, and we looked at that little village there, and I tried to imagine in my mind what it would be like, and I remembered the story. You see, this maniac, as he was called, of Gadara, he would run around the graveyards at night screaming. Now, first of all, how many of you would say, that creeps me out right there? I'm not doing that stuff, right? I'm not into this, you know, death and gothic and all this type of thing. But he was. And he would run through. And not only that, he would scream. And not only that, he would cut himself as he ran. And not only that, he ran through there totally naked. Now, he was free. You know, like an American, he'd say, I'm American, I'll do what I want. I'll run around graveyards if I want. Okay. And he was. Boy, he was having a time of it. And what he didn't realize, he was really under bondage is what he was. See, a lot of these people say, I'm free. No, they're under the bondage of sin. But something happened to that man. He met Jesus. And he put his faith on Jesus, and those demons couldn't stay in his temple if Jesus was in his temple. And Jesus put those devils into the pigs, and the pigs ran into the water and drowned. And so we read about the maniac of Gadara, but I want to show you the really good part of that story. Look at the Luke 8:35. It's in your notes there. It says, and when they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus. Notice this now. Clothed and how? In his right mind. They were afraid. He was clothed and in his right mind. Hey, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Hey, this guy was confused and contorted and running around, cutting himself. But when he met Jesus, he found real peace. And I'm just here to tell you this morning that when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you're not going to live like a maniac. You're not going to live in anger and depression. You're going to be in your right mind, my friend. There's going to be love, joy, and peace that comes into the heart and life of a Spirit-filled man or woman. I got to tell you something. Walking in the Spirit isn't a Sunday morning going to church experience. It's an everyday experience when you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Be not drunk with wine, just like the drunk man is under the control of the alcohol, God says in the negative way. I want you in the positive way to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And that means under the leadership, guidance, and control. That means tomorrow he wants to go with you. He wants to be in the commuter lane with you. He wants to go to work with you. And it means if you're saved, he is there with you. The question is, are you going to acknowledge his presence? Are you going to speak to him and let him lead you tomorrow? So it's a controlled walk. Secondly, it's a consistent walk. When someone's walking in the Spirit, their walk is very different. Notice in verse 15, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Now, this walk is, first of all, a productive walk. See then that ye walk circumspectly. In other words, he says, live carefully. Back on the farm where our family's from in Colorado, there's some large red rock outcroppings that come over the canyons on the edge of the bean fields. Boy, when I was a kid, I used to love running out on those rocks and jumping across the rocks and looking out over and throwing rocks down the canyon. And so when our kids got to be third and fourth and fifth grade, I thought, this is great. I'm going to take the kids out there and we're going to run really close to the canyon edge and we're going to look over there and we're going to jump around. And I said, honey, I'm going to take Danielle and Larry and we're going to go run. And Terry said, now listen, if you take them out there to those cliffs, there's a 20-yard rule. And I thought, show me that in the Bible. She said, I don't want those kids any more than about 20 yards from those cliffs. You know what she was saying? I want you to walk circumspectly. I want you to be careful in your walk. I want you to live carefully. And a Spirit-filled man or woman is careful in their walk. Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So someone that is walking in the Spirit, their life is going to be very, very different. The things they watch, the people they hang with, the things they say, they're walking now in the Spirit. They're acknowledging God lives within them. And God doesn't want them watching that. God doesn't want them listening to that. God doesn't want them going there, because now that I'm walking in the Spirit, my feet take me different places. My feet used to go here, but now they go here. Somebody help me with that this morning. See what I'm saying? You're walking in the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit takes you down a different path. Praise the Lord for that. And so it is to live carefully. Secondly, it is to live purposefully. Now look at verse 16. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Let's say that together. Ready to begin? Redeeming the time because... Now some people say, well, the Bible's not very relevant. I would say that verse has it spot on. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now the word redeeming means to be productive with your time. It means that the spiritual man is intentional about his life. Like the early deacons in Acts 6 who were full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. And I'm saying that when you are following the leadership of the Holy Spirit, you're going to redeem the time that you have with your family. I say this often, and I say it again this morning regarding family. Life is too short to fight with your family. We're here just as a vapor for a little time. I don't want to waste a day being upset with my family. I don't want to waste an hour giving silent treatment to my spouse. I want to redeem the time. If I'm with my family, I want to make sure they know I love them, and I want to make sure that it's joyful or edifying or teaching. I want it to be to a biblical purpose. When we're in church together, we want this to be a time. Look at you, you've got 60 hours of television and 40 hours of commuting and all kinds of junk. We just get a few hours together. Hey, we want to worship God and open His Bible and redeem the time. And tomorrow at work and throughout your life, you don't want to spend time, listen, teenagers, just playing computer games. Let me challenge our teenagers. Read through some of the books of the Bible. Come and ask me or go to my website, paulchapel.com. There's probably 200 books on there that I give for recommended reading by category. Read something that will help you. Redeem the time because the days are evil. Listen, all the other kids are going to play witchcraft games on their little computers. But God's children who are filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to be led to do something different. And so redeem the time. Have a productive walk in your life. And if you are a Christian that's full of the Spirit, you consistently walk with productive. Listen, you ought to be one of the best employees where you work because you're redeeming the time. And you're making the most of that time. A productive walk. And secondly, a perceptive walk. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, He gives you discernment. And He gives you wisdom. Can I tell you something as some of you who are newer believers? There's going to be times when you're going to sit in these chairs and you're going to hear something preached. You're going to go, what? Now, hopefully you don't say that out loud. You know, that's not real encouraging for the pastor. You know, but sometimes in your mind, you're going to go, what? And you're going to go, I don't understand that. I don't understand that principle. And I'm going to tell you that I've been saved since 1972, but many, many times in my life, growing as a Christian, there were times when I was like, I don't quite get why he preached that. You're going to laugh at this. I remember a preacher when I was a boy preaching against the Beatles. Preaching against the Beatles. And he said, there's going to come something. He said, singing about anarchy and revolution. Or I forget. I never really knew a lot of the Beatles songs. I think the only one I ever heard was Let It Be. And I'm fine, just let it be. That's the only thing I know about it. But he was preaching. What he was preaching against was this, that there's going to come a kind of music that's not really uplifting to God. And we need to be careful. He was saying, you need to be careful about music and the kind of music you listen to. Now, I don't have time to tell you, but there are songs today that talk about hurting your mama and killing your friend and taking all kinds of drugs. And I don't mean to be unkind. And I remember the preacher saying that, and I thought, man, that's kind of overkill. And you know what? I'm going to tell you something. The longer I grow in the Lord and in the Word of God, the more I realize, you know what? There are some things to be careful about. And sometimes as you grow in discernment, you begin to see the necessity of being careful. And I want you to see this, because notice what it says in verse 17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. God says, I don't want you to be unwise. That means foolish or senseless. I want you to be understanding. I want you to comprehend. I want you to know my will for your life, for your home, for your family. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. So if someone is singing about how to have fornication, and the Bible tells me it's the will of God to abstain from it, I don't think the Holy Spirit wants me listening to that. Somebody could help me here. I'm just saying. Be not unwise, it says, but understand the will of the Lord. So I have to pray as a parent, Spirit of God, help me. Now, sometimes I might be a little more conservative. Sometimes there may have been things as a parent I said to the kids, I don't think we're going to go there. I just don't feel that'd be good for you to go to that concert. I don't feel like that'd be good for you to go to that activity. And what was I trying to do? I was trying to be a Spirit-led daddy. I was trying to get the mind of God on a matter. I was trying to be careful about those things because I want to be perceptive in my walk. And perceptive Christians have at least four characteristics that I've seen in the Scriptures. First, they pray, and they pray without ceasing. And secondly, they have a holy walk. And thirdly, their thoughts are virtuous. And fourthly, they witness, because the Bible says, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. And so a consistent walk of holy living and witnessing for Christ, this is the fruit. Now listen very carefully. The Holy Spirit will always cause you to exalt Jesus. And a Christian that is witnessing is a Spirit-led Christian. And the Holy Spirit is going to give us a controlled walk, which leads to a consistent walk. And finally, you're going to have a communicating walk. I'm not saying that God is going to audibly speak to you tomorrow. He's not going to say, it's 9 o'clock, call your wife and tell her you love her. Probably not going to say that. But many times during the day, I believe the Lord's just put my wife on my mind. And I've tried to practice this, and I tell this to our staff. Obey every impulse of the Holy Spirit. Would you say that with me? Obey every impulse. Sometimes I'm walking maybe down the street or walking into a place of business, and I'll meet somebody and talk to somebody, and I'll just get a burden for them, and I'll feel like I want to invite them to church. I'm not saying it's an audible voice, but I'm telling you this. The devil doesn't want me to keep people out of hell. I feel like the Lord puts that burden on my heart, and I want to listen to the Lord. And sometimes I'll invite someone because I feel the Holy Spirit is prompting me to be a witness for Jesus Christ. This is what the Holy Spirit does. So look at what it says in 1 John 2:27. But the anointing which ye have received of him that abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it is taught, it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Now notice the phrase, the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. In the Old Testament, when someone was anointed, it was a symbol of the Holy Spirit's presence. For example, Samuel anointed David with oil, and the oil was symbolic of the Holy Spirit's presence. And we have been anointed by the Holy Spirit that is in us. And that happened, as we said earlier, when we accept Jesus as Savior. The Holy Spirit takes up residence in our life. And I want you to see two things about his ministry of communicating with us. First, he is a permanent indweller within us. His anointing is upon us. His presence is with us, according to 1 John 2:27. Now, he indwells us. And I want you to see this verse in your notes, 1 Corinthians 6:19. Look at what it says. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which we have of God, and ye are not your own? All right, let's read that together. Ready, begin. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God? So our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So the Lord is with us, his Holy Spirit is with us, and he's walking with us, and he's guiding us, and he comforts us. John 14:16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. So the Holy Spirit indwells the believer. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. But then notice, secondly, that he not only is a permanent indweller who will never leave us, who seals us forever, but he is a permanent instructor as well. John said, ye need not that any man teach you, because this anointing teacheth you of all things. We refer to this as the illumination of the Holy Spirit. He helps us. And while we may ask a Sunday school teacher, we may read a commentary, the Spirit of God is the one that we should pray, Lord, help me to understand your word as I read it today. Help me to apply this message. It's the Spirit of God that reminds us when we're talking to a friend of a verse we heard 3 weeks ago, or reminds us of a lesson that we learned. He brings it to our mind. He is our teacher, you see, along the way. I heard about a dad that asked his second grade son, how you like in school? He said, I don't like it very much at all, Dad. And the dad said, that's too bad. I spent 3 of my best years in the second grade. And there are some people like that, that just, it's a little tougher along the way. But listen, the principle here is the Holy Spirit is always with us, and he's always tutoring us, and he's always teaching us, and he's always reminding us along the way. And the Bible says this, John 14:26, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. We had a conference in Manila. It was called the Spiritual Leadership Conference. And when you fly internationally like that, many of you know you're weary, bone weary when you land. And then you get out of some of these airports. And in that particular Manila airport, thousands of people in the terminals. And you get through customs, and there's thousands of people at baggage. And it's just a very confusing situation. And we're coming through all of that. And you're in customs. You're trying to keep your eyes open with a toothpick. And you're trying to have a good Christian attitude. But you're just tired, and you want to bed somewhere. And right in the middle of all these thousands of people, there was a man that held up a sign, and it said, Mr. Paul Chapel. And I'll tell you what, I went to that man and he said, "Hello, Pastor Chapel, here's some water for you and we'll help you with your bags and follow us." And they took me through a crowd of people around this way, down one street, up a parking garage, into the car, all through the traffic. About an hour later, they got me to a hotel that had clean sheets and I went to bed. And I'll tell you what, it was awesome to have a guide to get me from one point to the next point. And what I want you to remember this morning is that tomorrow morning, there's someone that wants to meet you and his name is the Holy Spirit of God, and he has a sign with your name on it, and he wants you to follow him tomorrow, and you won't have as much marital problem, you won't have problems of the flesh, if you'll just follow him and let him guide you tomorrow. Amen. He'll teach you and he'll guide you. See, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, quench not the Spirit. Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Spirit. Galatians 5, walk in the Spirit. Ephesians 5, be filled with the Spirit. Listen, the Holy Spirit wants to go with you, and he wants to go with me tomorrow, and he wants to lead you and guide you, but you've got to yield yourself to him tomorrow. You've got to be willing to be led by the Holy Spirit tomorrow. He will help you along the way. So let me ask you this question. Has there been a time in your life when you received Christ as your Savior and were born again by the Spirit? Have you been born again? I don't mean in some political, some generic sense. I mean in the Bible sense. In the sense of believing on Jesus Christ and calling out to Him and asking Him to come into your life and being born by His Spirit through His Word. And if you have been born spiritually, have you been following Him every day? Or have you been quenching Him? You see, he is a person. And when you say, "I'm going to do my own thing. I'm not going to pray today. I'm not going to ask God for wisdom about my family," you quench the Holy Spirit who's within you. Now, I hate to tell you, there have been a few times I've quenched my wife's spirit. And sometimes, as a husband, I'm just dumber than dirt. And you say, "Well, what do you mean by that?" Well, husbands can be dumber than dirt sometimes. It's just what we do best, it seems like, sometimes. And I've come home a few times and instead of saying, "Hi, sweetheart, how was your day?" or "Boy, the food smells good," or something like that, I'll come home and say, "What's this pile of stuff?" or "How come we didn't do that?" or "Where were you at this time?" or "Smells like something's burning," or just some statement like that. And my wife's not a real arguer. But if I say something dumb like that, I can just see on her countenance, I just said something dumb. And her spirit is quenched. How many ladies understand what I'm talking about right now? How many of you men have done that before? Come on, help me out, guys. Please, don't let me stand up here by myself. You've just said something like, "Remember when that used to fit you?" You know what I'm talking about. So don't sit there and look like Mr. Innocent, squeaky clean, because you're dumb as dirt just like I am too. Probably you're smarter than I am. But what I'm saying is, there have been times when I've quenched my wife's spirit, and I've had to apologize to her. And there are times when, with the third person of the Trinity, when we don't listen to him and we don't acknowledge him, that we quench him. Now, there's not a husband in his right mind that wants to quench his wife. And there shouldn't be a Christian here today that quenches God this week. He is a God of personality. He is a God that can be quenched. And all I want you to remember is tomorrow morning when you wake up, go to the Word of God and look for the sign that says, "Follow me." And then walk with him all this week long. And he'll tell you when to witness, and he'll tell you when to say the right thing, and he'll tell you when to not say something, if you'll just learn how to walk in the Spirit.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chapel on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchapel.com and click on his social media links. You can also receive this entire series of messages to help you in your spiritual journey when you make a donation to this ministry. Get yours right now by calling 800-688-6329. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chapel has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chapel's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chapel's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.